speaker, Jesse C.
Hey, family. My name is Jesse. I'm a recovering addict.
Hey, Jesse.
And I want to thank all you guys for coming out to hear me share about time. Time is irreplaceable, and it may be the most precious gift that we can give. And what that made me think about is in the realm of Narcotics Anonymous and when I'm doing service work, that takes a lot of time. And some of the spiritual principles that they mention are commitment. So when I have a service position, I need to practice some integrity, show up when I say I'm going to show up and do what I say I'm going to do, and really keep things simple, because this is a simple program for complicated people. And that is kind of like what the symbol talks about, simplicity. And so the simplest thing that I can think about today for me, and goes into gratitude, is I am so grateful to be living on this side of the border and have clean water to drink. That's just the simplicity of how I start off my day sometimes. And in service work has kept me coming back to meetings when I didn't want to come. I've been a member of some groups that they didn't really seem to appreciate my time. And time is time, and you can't get it back. Just like sponsorship, it takes time. You know, you put time in to help the still sick and suffering addict. And then I have to have self-care, and that's time that I devote solely to myself. And I have to lower my expectations of people, period, which includes myself. And a lot of times they're unrealistic. So I lower my expectations and I raise my acceptance, and then I don't feel like I've jacked off a lot of my time, because I can't get that back. And just recently I've had a few medical, additional medical concerns that have caused me to really appreciate time and look at time, because it has increased the fact, shortened the time that I may be here. And so being able to live my life every day, I'm so grateful that in spite of the medical situations that I deal with, I'm just blessed to be able to still walk in here without any assistance. But I know that if the time comes that I can't, you know, somebody like Carolyn will be there to change my diaper, because she knows that she's next in line, because we are some of the seasoned members in this fellowship in this area who are aging in recovery, and aging is not for punks, and we can't get that time back. And aging in recovery, for me, it's not such a sad thing, because I have you guys. So a lot of the things that I would probably be sitting on a psychiatrist's couch or heavily medicated because of my inability to accept my health, it's not like that, because I have you guys. And I have you guys directly sent to me from God. I believe that this is a spiritual program. And I believe that you guys are God's angels. And I don't have the luxury, even though I want to sometimes, to just dish you and push you to the side, because I never know who God is going to send to help me. Now, I've had some situations here where I put a lot of time into a group. I did everything. I opened the door. I set everything up. I paid the rent. I made the donation to area. I bought all the supplies. And in the end, they wanted to key the money in the books. They said I stole the money. I put a lot of time into that group. And that was my home group. And one of my friends, he was laughing that that was my home group. And he said, I can't believe you've been at that group that long. I had been at that group for a while. And I said, well, why are you laughing? And he said, you didn't know that was the most racist group in Houston? I said, I never felt that. I felt the love of this fellowship in that group. It was just a few individuals. And I don't even focus on them because it was insignificant. The fact that they accused me of things like that and all the time that I put in there, guess what? I didn't put that time in there to get a pat on the back from them. I put that time in there to do what I wanted to do, what I needed to do to keep me coming back, to keep me clean, because knock on wood, relapse is a yet for me. And this is how I keep it a yet. I recognize that we're all equal. And I have some quantity. I'm working on the quality of my recovery today. And I've had a lot of situations come up in these last years that I've been here. But the good thing is that I've had people like you guys in my life. I've had people that practice integrity, people that are authentic, and they help me to be real and authentic. Yeah. And so no matter what comes my way, I'll have to use, no matter what it is. So, you know, I put a lot of self-care into myself, but I had lost a little bit of that last year for whatever reason. I stopped going to the doctor. I was out of care, which I really can't afford to be, but I was still taking my medicine. And so when I went to this new doctor, I was telling her about my labs, and they had dropped drastically. And she told me I couldn't ask her any questions unless it was about my labs. And I said, well, see, it's about my labs. They dropped. And she said, you can talk to someone else. And I was like, wow, really? And so, of course, I filed a grievance, and that took time. And I'm still dealing with that time. And I remember writing the grievance guy and telling him that no one's gotten back with me. That I could be dying, that I could have AIDS or whatever. And so finally, they gave me another doctor, and I went to her, and so now my T cells have dropped again. So when your T cells are under a certain number, you're diagnosed with AIDS. But whatever I have, it hasn't stopped me from getting up and moving forward. It's not a woe is me, it's a grateful that I have health insurance. I'm grateful that there is a person named Ryan White that helps me be where I am today. Grateful that, I swear to God, on that television, my time, it has been shortened to the History Channel and National Geographic. I can't take it. I can't waste my time on things that vex my spirit. And I love having time to spend with myself, with my family, and you guys. You know, and in these concepts, which I do a lot of phone line meetings, there was one thing that I wanted to point out because an issue had come up in my area where we didn't want to spend a lot of time discussing what was going on. You know, we want to get in and get out. Get in and get out. But we have to put the time into the work that we do if we want to get the good results. And so here it was talking about, this is the ninth concept, where it talks about it encourages us individually to frankly speak our minds in discussions of service issues, even when most members think differently. And it also says, by insisting on thorough discussion of important issues, and I believe that all our issues are important because this is a life-saving program, the worst we can do is take a little of each other's time. At best, we protect the fellowship from the consequences of a hasty and misinformed decision. And I've seen that sometimes, like being in a space where everybody is frustrated because time is going on, or this person seems to be dragging the meeting out. But a lot of times what I've found in my experience is to seek out that lone voice. And also what I like to do in other areas that I work in outside of Narcotics Anonymous is call on that person that's just not saying anything, because sometimes it takes a lot of courage to be able to speak up, and you would be surprised. You know, sometimes it's the one that takes up all the time talking that I have a friend in another area that does that, and I just tap her and I say, wait, why am I talking? Wait, you know, and she starts talking, I say, wait. You know, and that's one of the things, you know, that we say. But I have a brand new great-granddaughter that was born on Christmas, and I have yet to be able to spend any time with her. But the time that I will get to spend with her and the time that I've spent with my other three great-grandchildren, seven grandchildren, and my three children, I just spent time with my son when I was in D.C. last week. It is irreplaceable.
Yes.
You know, and what I have is pictures. You know, a lot of people don't have photos. I've got several boxes of photos of when I was a little girl, my fifth birthday party, and I mean, the look on my face was just like an addict, you know? It's like, why she got that look on her face? And she's only five, just a little girl. And I was doing all these things, but my mother didn't put a lot of time into my life. I was fortunate enough to have other people who did, you know? And so my mother didn't talk a lot. And so I'm just the opposite. You know, my mother did volunteer work for 52 years, and I do a lot of volunteer work. It takes up a lot of my time, but guess what? I do it because I want to do it. I just, you know, and I call people up, and they might not call me back. I call them up again. You know, I get outside of myself because inside myself, I'm not going to make it, and I can't do this by myself. So getting outside of myself helps someone else. And I tell you, these last 2.5 weeks, I've spent a lot of time trying to help my veteran friend that's in the hospital from getting evicted. And today, before I came here, I was able to get his rent paid.
Wow.
And it was such a blessing because when I came back from D.C., he was on a ventilator. You know, and I've spent time going by his house almost every day, taking him to the hospital. And before I can get down to Almeda, they're calling me to come pick him up. And it wasn't until, to me, he was half dead that they finally admitted him. And so when I went there today, he's back in ICU, getting ready to get put on the ventilator again. But the good thing is that he has his apartment for this month, and he's not going to get evicted. You know, and that took a lot of my time. But I didn't complain about going to do it. I was happy to be able, you know, to do that. And whenever I see a veteran, I think they're a veteran because they have on a VA hat, I mean a veteran's hat, you know, I'll run over there and say thank you for your service. What branch, right? Well, a couple weeks ago, I was at this store in the parking lot, and I saw this guy going across the parking lot, and I went over to him and I said, hey, get away from me. I don't have no money for you. I was like, man, I'm driving this 2018 Cadillac. I don't need your money. I was just trying to thank you for your service, you know. And then he kind of apologized, you know. And so, I mean, it's your perspective and your perception. And a lot of times I'll shake people's hands, and some of my friends, you know, some of my friends are a little messier than me. And they say, that's not a veteran. They got that hat at the Salvation Army. So, you know, I never know. But time in this program is really needed. You know, I have a sponsee here from out of state. She's never been to Texas before. And you know what she said? She really likes this convention because of the diversity. And I really like diversity. You know, and the things that were like a lot of adversity that I went through as a child growing up in a Catholic school with the nuns and the Monsignor, and being the only black in my class from third grade to eighth grade in upstate New York, right next to West Point Military Academy, very prestigious place, right? That was a very hard time for me, and it was a lot of trauma. Being an incest survivor is a lot of trauma. I've dealt with a lot of trauma, but the time that I've put into Narcotics Anonymous has taken those adversities and turned them around to be assets. And so I'm just like, I'm a big activist, and I'm a big person on advocacy in many different areas outside of Narcotics Anonymous. But what that has done for me is these steps with the help of my sponsor and you guys, because sponsorship is a two-way street. I tell these guys what to do, they tell me what to do. You know, it goes back and forth, right? I don't have all the answers, right? And I definitely don't know everything. And the little bit that I do know is subject to revision, even what I think I know about truth. You see, even what I think I know about truth. And so I take that adversity and I turned it around and I use it as an asset. But I tell you, man, these concepts and these traditions help me, along with my sponsor and you guys, in processing things and living clean. The journey continues to be appropriate, to have some integrity, and to stay committed to the things that I do outside of Narcotics Anonymous. I learned it all in here. I learned it from you guys. And in the literature, it talks about how a service commitment can keep you coming. I think that's what's really kept me coming. Because growing up in upstate New York and living in the Deep South is trauma enough for me, you know. But the thing is that I have never felt homesick. I have never felt like, oh, I'm so homesick, I don't like it here, I want to go home. I have always felt welcomed, and I continue to meet people and build my base. The symbol talks about the broader your base, the higher your point of freedom. And I put a lot of time into teleconference meetings. And I still need this program to be an attraction to me. So I remember on this job, this addict came in. She was all bubbly. She said, did you hear that meeting? I said, what meeting? She said, the meeting on the phone. I said, girl, ain't no recovering addicts on no phones, probably some dope dealers. I threw the number in the garbage. She came back 3 days later, all enthusiastic and bubbly. Did you hear the meeting? I lied. Told her I lost the number. Give it to me again. She gave me the number. And I dialed in right around the holiday. And it was 20 people talking to 20 different people. And I said, uh-huh, just what I thought. But it was the holiday, and we have marathon meetings on the phone line. We've even had a three-day convention on the phone. So, and we actually had a workshop this year or last year at World. We actually had a workshop at the World Convention. So anyway, I don't know. You know, God works through people. It was just my intuition. One day I dialed in. I was sweeping the floor. And I was looking for a sponsor because my sponsor went over into religion. And I remember calling my friend, and I said, who's your sponsor? And she said, get your own sponsor. And I said, oh, okay. I get my own sponsor. So I dial in, and I'm looking for someone that had more time than me, and I'm looking for someone around my age. Okay, I just turned 68. And so I hear this lady, and that became my sponsor. And I spent a lot of time back and forth with this lady, and the time that I spent with her, it can't be replaced. Yeah. But that relationship ended because I crossed the line. And that relationship ended. It wasn't a platonic relationship. It became like a sexual relationship. And I saw what they meant when they said clean time don't equal recovery. You know what I'm saying? So then I got on that phone line again, and I got another sponsor. And man, this new technology and being able to FaceTime and put time into the phone and the internet, I haven't missed a beat, just like I'm face to face. But my sponsor is about 10 years older than me. In aging, she's had to move out of her house of 30 years into a facility. And she's been very depressed, a lot on the pity pot and all of that. And she's just not able to keep up because she's back and forth to the hospital. So I remember this girl that I had met in New Orleans at the teleconference event several years ago, and I talked to her a few times a year. She's in Charlotte from Brooklyn, New York. And I called her up and asked her if she could be my sponsor. We hung out together at the Greater New York Region Convention a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. She's younger than me, and she has less time than me. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about the time, but it's about the quality of the time. Yeah. And there's so many people here that have much less time than I do, and I have no qualms in saying the recovery that they have, it far outweighs mine. And the thing that I have to get to with time is that as times change, things change. And I still have to make this an attraction. And I have to welcome these new people that are telling me what to do. And they're my grandkids' age. And they're coming in here, and they're changing everything. And I'm like, why are they changing it? It's working. Why do you want to change it? But new people come in here with new ideas. And guess what? You know how this program works. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And that's what I have to have. I never know where my help is going to come from. And I keep that in the forefront of my mind. You know, I make a joke and I say, because sometimes I was living in Angleton. And so I called my sister up in Houston. And I said, hey, I said, it's a meeting in Klook. I said, let's go to this meeting in Klook. She said, girl, I am not going to Klook. She said, the Ku Klux Klan is in Klook. And I said, but the meeting will be over before it gets dark. It took me 5 years to get there. There was some addicts, you know. It was a lot of diversity, 2 carloads we went down. And it was a good meeting. And I say that coming from upstate New York and driving to the city 4 and 5 times a day to cop, diversity was my strength. See, I was the only black in my class when I was a little girl. So I'm not intimidated by different cultures. You know, I've been empowered and encouraged by that. And so I say in my insanity that, hell, if people were ODing from that dope and the Ku Klux Klan was the one that had it, I would have the courage to go knock on the door and get some. So that's what allows me to have the courage to go into spaces and places where a lot of my friends will not go. But see, their experience and my experience is totally different. See, I grew up in a different time and a different place than they did. And I have to respect that. And so I'm just grateful that I have the awareness that I have. I'm grateful that I'm me. I'm comfortable in my skin. I see a lot of things that I don't like. And when I see things that I don't like, I'm not going to call you up and talk to you about it. I'm going to go talk to the place, person, or thing where it is that I don't like. You know, the other night I was at a place, and I was trying to get some signatures for some political stuff, and the lady said, you can't pass those around. I said, oh. I said, well, can I get your signature and your telephone number? You know, and she was like, well, okay, you know, she gave it to me. And so you guys just would never know, because your feet are not in my shoes, how grateful I am to be where I am. You know, I had a son that loved giving all his life and time to Michigan Department of Corrections. That was a lot of time. But then I came here and I ended up working at TDC. And I swear that it was just amazing how things went in there, because I prayed every day that those officers in Michigan treated my son the way I treated these guys in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that. You know, we're more alike than we are different, and unity is the key. In diversity, we grow. You know, what would it mean to live in a world, this is a globe, and just position myself in this one little pinda? It's a whole world out here. And so I take the time as much as I can to enjoy the world. And if it wasn't for you guys in Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be in Texas if I hadn't met some people at the World Convention in Chicago, connected. And I'm learning how to build relationships. And we're still cool today. That's how I got to Texas. I'm going to keep coming back. Hey, this thing works if you work it. It'll work if you don't work it. It just won't be working for you. And I'm doing everything I can to make it work for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jesse, for your time. Next speaker we have is Adam H.
Hey! Billy in the house.
All right, my name is Adam. I'm an addict.
Man,
I am so glad to be clean today, man. You know, and not just like, before I get carried away, thank you for chairing the meeting.
Yes.
Thank you for recording. Jesse, thank you for sharing. Because like, I was thinking on what when Jesse was sharing, right? Like the ways in which I choose to spend my time today is so valuable, right? Thank you guys for putting the time in to this committee and just everything that goes into this, man, because a lot of people had to put a lot of time into this convention to make this thing happen, right? So that like addicts continue to have like a good place to go and have meetings and have conventions and make coffee and make food. So like, I wanted to give a big shout out to like anybody that had anything. If you set up a chair before this meeting, like anybody that had anything to do with this convention, man, thank you for doing some service for Narcotics Anonymous, man. Because it may not be for me, it may not be for you, but this weekend right here is gonna be the turning point in somebody's recovery,
right?
Somebody came into this convention this weekend not wanting to live, just wanting to stop using. I don't know who they are, right? But there's a newcomer here right now somewhere that needs to know how we stop using and how we stay stopped, right? You know, Narcotics Anonymous doesn't always help with like, you know, we know how to help motherfuckers stay stopped, right? Like, we, you know, it says we get cleans by whatever means necessary, right? That looks different for all of us. All what Narcotics Anonymous is a proven program of like how to stay stopped, you know, because I could stop on my own, but it was the staying part that I had a problem with, right? I stopped, man, I got clean on Monday for about 7 years, you know what I mean? When Monday comes around, I'm gonna be clean. When Monday comes, right? So I'm grateful, right? Because I understand that, you know, the things that I take for granted sometimes, man, are the very things that may help somebody else, you know? So I don't know if you guys noticed on your schedule, my name is not Anthony V. As far as physically, me and Anthony V could not look any different. Anthony V is my sponsor, and he was supposed to be doing this workshop, but unfortunately he couldn't make it down here, and he knew that I was coming, and man, my sponsor's so funny, man. I love sponsorship. But more importantly, man, the God of my understanding has a great sense of humor, right? So like, because I've been having one of those weeks, right? And like, and I'm gonna get back to this topic a little bit, and it all ties together, man, because the way that I spend my time will dictate the reality of my life, right? So what I've been experiencing this week, I just wanted to share about it a little bit because I know that God will put me in positions where I need to share, right? And not to always help somebody else, but to help free myself from myself just a little bit more. Because this is like, you know, this is the tool that God will use to get me to stop thinking about myself for 30 fucking minutes, you know? You know, and I also know that I may not be able to share anything that will make somebody run out of here, but we may be able to say one thing to help somebody stay, right? So I've been having one of those weeks where like, I don't experience, anybody that knows me, in any area of my life, man, I don't really, I go through shit, right? But like, I keep things moving in my life, man. I don't dwell on a lot of shit. And, you know, I was experiencing some sadness this week. Like, they called me and told me that, my old roommate at college had overdosed, right? And, if you've been around Narcotics Anonymous at all, you know, or have a career of using like I did, an overdose or a death isn't anything like, it happens, right? And I don't know why, man, like he wasn't one of those, like I hadn't talked to him in 3-4 years, like he wasn't like an everyday kind of person, man, but like I think back to the time, right? I think back to the time, man, and like I think back to like he wasn't doing some of the funky shit I was doing until he met me, right? And the way that the disease works in my head is that like It tells me that if I had never gave him the first one, he wouldn't have died from the last one, you know? And that I've been staying clean for 6 fucking years. I couldn't make one phone call to him and check on him, right? This is the shit that the disease starts to tell me, is that, like, you got all this stuff and you can't get out your own way for 5 minutes to call somebody that you didn't even know was about to die, right? So on the other side of that, though, people in recovery, my sponsor, that they make sure that I understand that if it wasn't me, it was going to be somebody else, right? And that there was a lot of choices that have been made since the first one to the last one, man, that dictated what happened to him, you know? So outside of that, though, like, it also brought a lot of gratitude, right? It brought a lot of gratitude because I understand for me today that, like, it didn't have to be like this, man. It definitely didn't have to be like this, and my clean time is important, right? Clean time is important in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Clean time is important in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like, you know, the change and the process can't happen if we don't fucking stay clean, right? When we use, we stop the recovery process, and everything that I thought that I knew is out the door, you know? So my clean day is July 11, 2013. Right. I got to celebrate 6 years in July, and done a whole lot of other weird shit, but I just hadn't used drugs, man. Yeah. And because I don't know about you guys, but, like, I found out that when we put the dope down, we start to pick up some other shit, you know? Maybe you aren't like me, I don't know, but, like, you know, that we wouldn't have all these damn books if our problem was just about not using,
right?
You know, that this thing runs so deep, man, that it goes way beyond just the drugs, man. It just shows up in my uncontrollable drug use is what it talks about. So I've learned a lot of things, and I'm grateful that I've learned some things in 6 years and being in Narcotics Anonymous, and the way that I get to learn the information about NA is to fucking be around NA, right? My life has, like Jesse was sharing about as well, like, everything I do centers around Narcotics Anonymous, man. There's not, and the reason that is because just like this disease spreads its tentacles out into all areas of my life, there's not one area of my life that Narcotics Anonymous hasn't touched. I mean, there's not one good thing that I have that isn't because of this program, man.
Right.
And that comes from putting the time in. It comes from putting the work in, right? It's because for so many years, like, you know, addicts, we always want the easier, softer way. We just want shit to get better, but I don't want to put in any fucking effort, you know? It says in our literature, right, like, if you want what we have to offer and you're willing to make the effort to get it, you know? So I can, because I've never been able to think myself into a better way of living,
right?
You know, there's, because I come up with some good fucking thinking, you know? If I could just hit the right scratch-off ticket, you know, if I just made enough money, if I just had the right job, whatever the fucking thing, it's never enough, you know what I'm saying? There's never been, you know, can I just be content with who I am right now, you know? And I'm grateful for my sponsor. So the reason that I'm sitting up here is because he mentioned it to me, but my sponsor's funny because he says shit in a way that, like, it leaves it kind of open-ended, you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh yeah, they may be calling you. I'm like, what? He's like, all right, man, have fun. And that was, like, the end of it, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, and I didn't think anything of it. So they called me this morning about 10 o'clock and asked me to share today. And, you know, and I hadn't had a whole lot of time to look at the topic and all that stuff, but I don't really need to, man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really need to. And I called my sponsor just before this workshop. And he was at a meeting. I'm speaker jam, right? And I was calling him because I like to get myself centered up. You know what I'm saying? I like to get myself centered up before I go share anywhere because I know how this disease is. And I was expecting, like, some advice and shit, you know? And he said, oh, okay. Well, just pray and get out the way. And okay, man. And he said, okay, I'll talk with you later, you know? But that's just it, right? Is that, like, me and him have spent enough time together that he knows that that's all I need, right? Is that, like, my sponsor's not big on, like, like holding your hand through some shit. He's gonna tell you, hey, you're gonna be all right. Just keep walking, and you need to learn through some shit on your own time. Yeah. You know, he's got his own life to live, man. And so it is the same way with the guys that I get to sponsor. And you know, I was noticing one thing on this topic. I'm gonna look at it real quick because I thought it was interesting how they worded this. So it says that time is irreplaceable and may be the most precious gift we can give, right? Yeah. It doesn't say that time is one of the most precious gifts that we can get. It's one of the most precious gifts that we can give, yeah. Right? Because it's for addicts, I had to change my perspective that it's not always about what the fuck am I getting, right? Yeah. I'm always so focused on what am I getting, you know, what's happening to me and all this victim shit. It's like, well, what am I doing to help counter that process, right? So this is telling us that, like, that it's the most precious gift that we can give, you know. And my sponsor tells me all the time that, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, there's not a lot of ways like that. I mean, there are a lot of ways that we can show each other that we got love for each other and that, you know, we give each other hugs and, you know, we're not like, in the business of like, you know, paying for your shit or anything like that. The way we show love in Narcotics Anonymous is that we give each other our time, right? If you really care, if you want to show somebody that you care about them in Narcotics Anonymous, you give them your time. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that I would rather fucking do with my time most days. You know, there's like a lot of other self-centered shit I'd rather be doing, right. You know? But I don't. Because I understand what it, I read the first step, and I understand what it is that I suffer from, and I know that if I don't want to go back to where I was before I got here, I'll put the time and the effort in to make sure that my ass stays here, you know. And there's a lot of things that are going to be like because our lives get good in Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody else's life gotten good because of Narcotics Anonymous, man? Like there's. If we work this program right, there's no kind of promises, but I believe like your life will get better. Right, I mean, like, it's what happens, man. Using is a rapid downhill slide, and recovery is a slow but steady uphill journey, man. Yeah. And you know, there's not too many people that like, yeah, we're gonna go through some shit, but the quality of my life has gotten better, you know. And it always comes down to like, what kind of effort do I want to put in? Because everything that I put in has a payout, right? What I put in is what I get out, man. It's telling us that this time that we have is irreplaceable, meaning that the time that I spend today, I can't get it back, right? How I spend my time today, I can't go buy more of it somewhere,
right,
you know?
Right.
That like, you know, and with my friend passing away this week, it really put some things into perspective for me again, because this isn't the first friend that I lost. It won't be the last. Right. That like, man, what we have is so precious.
Yeah.
Right? That like, I'm not too far removed from that life or that kind of lifestyle to like, I can't end up back there. You know,
right.
I don't think that I'm like today. I don't believe that I'm one like bad choice away from using. I would have to put in some serious work to go back. And like, I would have to make like some seriously consecutively bad fucking decisions before I got high again,
right.
But it could happen, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a pattern that I notice all the time with people that come in and then they decide to use and then they come back in and maybe people that have been here for some time and they decide that it's all right, they convince themselves that it's okay to go get high again. But the things that happen is that we stop doing the things where we invested our time in the first place. You know, we stop making meetings. Meetings are always the first thing to go. And it usually starts with a resentment. Nah, fuck those motherfuckers, right? I don't need to go over there. They share about crazy shit. I don't get fed when I go over there. Yeah. Whatever. I'm talking about me. This is the shit that I come up with, right? So, like, you know, we stop going to meetings. We stop calling our sponsor. We stop doing the step work. Like, we stop putting in the time and the effort that it took to achieve the period of freedom that we have right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's you know, that can be a dangerous place for addicts to be, man. It says that our time, our experience, our creativity, our hope, our money in the basket, and our attention in the meeting are all expressions of generosity and parts of our contribution to NA. So I'm going to be spending the rest of my life paying back Narcotics Anonymous for what is given to me, right? And there's, you know, how would you put a monetary value on what you have today, right? Could you come up with a number, right? This thing that we have, man, is there's no tag for it, right? I mean, there's moments in my life, man. There's moments in my life, man. I look around, and I say, no fucking way, this is my life. Right. Ain't no way, man. I was a kid that came in at 130 pounds. I would hang out in abandoned houses in Philadelphia. I owed everybody and their mother money. My family didn't know where the fuck I was at. I couldn't keep a fucking job. I wouldn't have been too disappointed if I got a hot shot and it fucking took me out, right? Like, that was my life. You know what I'm saying? And somewhere along the way, man, like God was like, dude, you're done. You're done over here. You're done being a dumbass. Your time is done over here, right? Like, it's time for you to move out of that space and be where you're at, right? One of the best compliments I think we can get is when somebody looks at us and they say, well, look, you don't look like you did dope. Well, right? Yeah. Right? Thank God I don't still look like that, right? If I still look like, I got 6 years fucking clean. If I still look like that, there'd be a problem, right? Thank God I don't still live like that, man. You know, thank God that Narcotics Anonymous works. Thank God that you guys put the time into me to believe in me when I couldn't believe in myself, you know? And that's where it starts, right? Is that just one person has to put the belief in us that, like, because I can't see it for myself when I get here. I can't see how I'm going to get out of the darkness, man. And I'm not just talking about when we're using, because some shit's going to happen when we're clean that somebody's going to have to be willing to meet us in our darkness clean, right? And that's why I got a lot of gratitude for my sponsor, man, because at 3 years clean, anybody that was around me knows my story at that time. I was going through some weird shit clean, right? And I thought, this is some fucking bullshit, right? And I was shutting myself off from the fellowship because I had made it up in my mind that everybody knew what the fuck was happening and that everybody was in on it and there was some secret plot to, like, run a coup and get me out of Narcotics Anonymous, right? This is my brain. Nobody, and my sponsor, he asked me, he said, well, who the fuck told you that? And I said, well, nobody, I did, right? You know, I got to be careful to what it is that I'm listening to when I'm the only one saying it, right? Because my brain is funny, man. I make shit up on my own with zero information, right? I'm good at filling in the blanks, right? I take one piece of information and I make the rest of the shit up, you know? It just depends on, like, how deep my distortion and rationalization is going that day, man. So I'm grateful that I've spent the time to learn how to stay in Narcotics Anonymous, man. And the time that I get to give back, like, I'm not, you know, I give of my time, man, because I understand that it says what? We can only keep what we have by giving it away, right? So if I want to continue to keep the time that I have in Narcotics Anonymous, I better be willing to give my time back to Narcotics Anonymous, man, because our lives get so good and full that it's easy to get distracted from the goodness, you know? You know, am I willing to sacrifice my time to meet with a sponsee or go open up the meeting or have I gotten too good to make a cup of coffee for the home group, right? Like, what, you know, my sponsor tells me all the time, like, let me know how you're spending your time and I'll let you know the quality of your life, you know? Like, how that stuff is, has a direct, like, they go side by side, right? Like, the things that I choose to do with my time will dictate, like, how I get to live, man. And you know, it says that when we are involved in service to our local NA community, we see the value of stable, reliable contributions. We also learn that money is a very small part of what we offer. So this is coming out, this topic was coming out of the seventh tradition, right? And you know, and this is the thing, is that, like, you know, we know that newcomers, you may not have money to give, right? Or that, you know, even if we even if we've been here a while, we may hit some tough times and we may not have the money to put in the basket, right? But there's other ways that we can give back to the fellowship, man. And like we've been sharing, our time is the biggest thing that we can give, man. Speaking of, I'm not gonna take up a lot of time tonight, man. Like, I just wanted to make sure that I showed up for my assignment, because when my sponsor gives me an assignment, I show up, man. Right? I may kick and fuss about it or whatever, but because I believe in the process, man. I believe in sponsorship. And I also don't want to do the writing about why I wouldn't be willing to show up to something like this, you know, because my sponsor make me do some shit like that. I'm real grateful that I was able to make it down here. It's so funny, like, every time that I try to come up with a plan for my life, or I tried to plan this whole weekend, right? Like, that my, like, all week I was like, man, I can't wait to get down to Houston. I'll get off of work early. I'll get down here. I'll get to the hotel. I had a whole plan of what I was going to do, you know. I got out of work late by like 4 hours from when I wanted to leave, right? I sat and fucked off traffic on 45 the whole way down here. I stayed up late last night when I said I was going to go to bed early, right? I got back from lunch today. I said I was going to take a nap, but my phone kept ringing from people calling to check in on me. Right, and I didn't nap. There's every time that I try to come up with a plan for what the fuck I think I should be doing, man, God's always got me moving in a different direction, right? But can I be willing enough just to know that, like, I'm in the care of something greater than myself and just show up and do what's asked of me, man? Because every time I show up for Narcotics Anonymous without condition, right? Without condition, that's the important part, man. When I walk into something expecting to get a whole bunch back, I'm setting myself up for a fucked up day, right? And not everybody is always going to act the way that I want them to. I mean, these are like simple but like harsh realities that Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, man, is that things aren't always going to go my way. But I know that every time I show up and put in the work and get uncomfortable, I continue to grow when we get uncomfortable, man.
Right.
The greatest change has happened in my life when I've been willing to get uncomfortable inside of some work. And I'll share this. If you're not uncomfortable inside the step work that you're doing the wrong step work.
That's good.
Right?
Right.
I've had a lot of experiences where, like, when I first got clean, I wanted to just, like, I was okay with, like, writing down, like, the odd but like, proud behavior of active addiction, right? You know? And then when I realized I had to write about myself, because my sponsor, he said, well, I don't give a fuck what you did before you got here. I want to know what you've been doing since you got clean. I said, no, man, let's go back to talking about the dope, you know. I didn't want to talk about that shit just yet. So anyway, man, I'm gonna shut it down before I start lying. So I'm real glad, I'm real glad that I was able to be here and be a part of the convention. It wasn't what I planned on, but it was absolutely what I needed.
All right.
Thank you guys for helping me get some freedom for myself for today. And that's all I got to share.
Thank both of y'all very much for your time, Jesse and Adam. Thank you for allowing me to serve as your chairperson for this workshop, and will you please join in making a circle and closing the meeting with the third step prayer.
My name is Jesse. We're coming at it.